We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Coast to Coast. I'm Green Mustafa alongside Calvin Wetzel, and we are going to continue with our WNBA season previews today. But before we start, we do have a little bit of breaking news that we do want to talk about. Cal, are you ready?
I wasn't ready for this news to hit that you're about to say, but I'm ready to record the pod. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, last week we recorded our first set of season previews, and the Las Vegas Aces were one of those teams. And one person that we talked about was Candace Parker, and hoping that she would be healthy enough this year to play and kind of seeing what she was going to look like with the team. Lo and behold, she goes on Instagram and she posts that she is retiring, sending all of us into a shock. And I think a lot of people were really sad about it. I'm really sad about it. I know a lot of players were really sad about it, but she did want to leave. You know, I think she said like something like privately from the game without this whole thing, and she didn't want to play in pain. And I really feel for her, but what a career. I kind of wanted to take a second to maybe like sit, share our favorite like stories or things about her. At least for me, she was the first time that I realized there was a WNBA, because like, I grew up in Canada and that wasn't really accessible here when I was growing up. There wasn't coverage. I literally had no idea it was a league. But when I was a kid and I used to watch the Disney Channel, there was a show called Ricky, Nicky, Dicky, and Dawn. And it was in like 2009, maybe 2010 at that point, where Candace Parker appeared in an episode as herself. Just being this like really inspirational player and being one of the kids on the shows, like her idol. And she was just herself as the character in the episode. And I was like, oh my God, like, who is this? Like, who is Candace? And then that kind of opened up my eyes to like the WNBA and women's basketball and all that. But I thought that was like a little interesting tidbit. That was like my introduction to the W, and it's kind of weird now that Candace is retiring.
It's crazy, and she's done so much for the sport. And for me, I started following women's basketball in 2019. So it was 5 years ago. And you know, I'm like more of a fan of the league than the Chicago Sky. But like being in Illinois, when I started following, I was like, well, who, I gotta pick a team. And so, all right, like I'll follow the Chicago Sky. That's the closest team. And then a year later, after I started following, she comes to Chicago. And then brings, or maybe that was 2 years. I don't remember which year, but bring Chicago their first ever championship. And that was so special. And I was so overjoyed already in that moment. It felt almost like somehow my emotions felt like I had been following the Chicago Sky for like their whole entire existence, which wasn't true. I'm sure there's so many fans who felt it so much more deeply, but to see that moment for her growing up in Naperville around that area and coming home and bringing a championship to her home city, I think is the moment that I'll remember the most as like a somewhat more recent fan of the W compared to her whole career. But what she's done, you can go on any social media and see all the different reactions from not only like her fellow WNBA players, but like college players and players who, you know, never made the league, but went and played over internationally and whatever the case, who are like, you know, I got into the game because of Candace, or I, you know, Izzy Harrison, I went to Tennessee because of Candace, and all of this, that, and the other because of Candace, and the impact that she leaves is indescribable.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the shift in women's basketball right now and kind of the eyeballs on it, but Candace was one of those players where that was happening with her too. Like, I think it's like, we cannot talk enough about how big of an impact she had within the sport of basketball and what she did for women's basketball. And obviously she's a champion on the court, but off the court, she's done so many things too. And, you know, like you said, the amount of players that were just reaching out just speaks to her character and who she is as a person. Everybody knows the name Candace Parker. And I think that's really important when you look at athletes who transcend their sport. Like I put it up there with like Serena Williams and like, you know, all these other players who everybody knows who they are, their names transcend their sport, and they just gave so much back to their communities and to the sport themselves. But yeah, thank you, Candace, for a wonderful career and for sharing your talents with us and the rest of the world. And we wish her all the best. And that does make things a little bit interesting for the Las Vegas Aces, because now all of a sudden they have more room to sign somebody. So it's like, oh, how unfair, how much more unfair can it get? But we'll see what they end up doing. I know there was like some rumblings of like people saying, oh, do they sign EDD? But then that would still have to be some sort of like sign and trade or a trade situation kind of thing. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But there are a couple of free agents that are still on the market too. But we'll see what happens with the Aces, what they end up doing. Okay, let's start our previews now. We move on to the Dallas Wings. This is going to be interesting because we've been watching them kind of gradually get better and better over the last few years. Last year felt like a really big leap for them. This year, there's a caveat here because Satu Sabally, who won Most Improved Player last year, is injured and is recovering, and she's not going to be available to play for the Wings until after the Olympic break. And that to me is huge when it comes to like seeing how teams are going to be playing in that first half of the season. And so when you look at this squad, how much does her absence kind of hurt them in that first half, Kel?
I think it does a lot, and at the same time, not that much. And here's what I mean is like, obviously on the basketball court, it's a massive impact. Satu changes everything for them, and what the player that she became last year is just a huge loss in their lineup. At the same time, long term, when you look at seeding, even with her, I don't think they were going to get up into that, say, like Aces or Liberty kind of top tier. And even without her, I don't see them dropping out of the playoffs. So the actual impact that you're talking about on paper is really going to be seeding wise, I think, maybe going from that 4 or 5 type of range to more of a 6 or 7 seed, which without the bye structure that we used to have in the playoffs isn't actually as big of a deal as it used to be. You still get that same first round 3-game series, whatever the case. So I think it actually could long-term benefit them because they're going to get some more opportunities for some of these younger players. You have Lou Lopez Senechal, was drafted a year ago. Maddie Segrist, who was drafted a year ago. Of course, Maddie played last year. Lou didn't because of that injury, but both of those players are going to get, I think, a lot more opportunity while Satu is out. You could maybe go 3 guards, and I know you're going to bring this up in a little bit, but like JC Sheldon might get some more opportunity. You could even maybe play her next to Crystal Dangerfield, although you're going a little bit small there, or Veronica Burton or something like that. Rather than sort of replace Satu with like a bigger forward. You have a lot of lineup options, but almost all of them involve someone who's in their first or second or third year who's still developing and who's going to get more minutes for the first couple months. And then you bring in Satu back. You're still going to make the playoffs, I think, like I said. And now you have all this development that happened from these younger players who are going to be just that much more ready to go when you come playoff time. So that's like the positive spin on it. If you want a silver lining, no one wanted to see this, obviously. And we all want to see Satu playing. I wish her well. Hope she gets back on the court as soon as possible. From the wing standpoint, I don't think it's the end of the world or anything, but obviously on the court for the first couple months, it is going to be a lot tougher for them.
Yeah. And because, you know, Germany did make the Olympics, you know, maybe that's kind of her ramp up back to playing on the court. So it's not like they're going to be getting her back from like not playing at all. She will be ramping up to playing in the Olympics, hopefully. And then maybe that'll help. Cause I remember, I think the last Olympics, the Tokyo Olympics, I actually asked Brittany Griner, during like USA basketball media availability, just like what it's like playing in an Olympic year, like in the W, just like the difference in basketball, like how does the level stay? And she said, even though it's very different, like the level stays very high, very elite. So that's kind of another silver lining. If you want to think about when Satu does return, I think it'll be way more seamless than you might be afraid of. But let's talk a little bit about those guards, Crystal Dangerfield, JC Sheldon. What do you envision would be best for this team in terms of lineups? Because of course they also have the Kalani Brown, Tierra McCown, like they have the bigs, they have all that, like that range and size. And then how are they going to also fit alongside Arike? Like, what is your vision for the Dallas Wings this season?
Well, and before we get to the guards, when you talk about the range of size, they also have Stephanie Suarez coming back, who another rookie like Lou, who got drafted last year, didn't play. So they, a lot of options in that front court. But in terms of the fit with the guards, I think I offensively, I love the idea of a JC Sheldon, Crystal Dangerfield, Arike lineup. Even though, like I said, it is a little bit small defensively, that's where you could run into some trouble. But I think this is going to be one of those situations where it doesn't necessarily matter who the starter is. It matters kind of who's out there, depending on the matchups. And like someone might start the game and only play a handful of minutes, and someone else might come off the bench and play more minutes because of how the game dictates and how the other team, because where they go with that Satu Sabali starting lineup spot is changes like their entire complexion of their lineup in terms of going small, going big, what it looks like matchup wise. And
they have Natasha Howard things, too, as well.
Exactly.
Kind of slotted in anywhere.
Yeah. Which gives you a lot of flexibility. So I think LT is going to be able to do some tinkering early on and kind of figure out what works best. But I don't think what works best is going to be the same game to game or even the same quarter to quarter. I think when you might see some teams start to play some chess and try to exploit, okay, they go small with Arike and Crystal and JC out there. All right, let's try to exploit that. All right, now let's bring in Maddie Segrist. All right. Or let's go even bigger and bring in Suarez or whatever the case. They're not going to play McCown and Kalani together, I don't think. But if Suarez can start out and step out and shoot some threes, which she's shown a sort of a capability to do that in college, not at an elite level or anything, but I wouldn't be shocked to see an occasional, you know, 2 or 3 minute stretch where we get her on the court with one of those other two. I don't think you can really make that like your main lineup, but I would be intrigued to see like super, super big mode and just try that for a little bit and punish the other team. I don't know if she'll go that route, but she has so many routes that she can go, I think, now, which is another sort of silver lining of getting this time without Satu, is you get to figure out all the different ways you can play it and then have a much better sense of that when Satu comes back.
Yeah, I was going to say, we only really get the Tierra and Kalani on the same time on the floor, like during the playoffs. That's like a very special, like, we will reward you with that when there's higher stakes. But I know I've like mentioned before on the pod, like it reminds me of the 2019 Raptors era where we like were begging Nick Nurse to play Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka together on the floor. It's like literally the exact same vibes. So I think it's actually hilarious. But no, there is a lot of range of size. And kind of the last thing that I want to talk about the Dallas Wings is like a bit of a question mark when it comes to Odyssey Sims. And there's been no announcement. She's still a free agent. But she's been in like multiple graphics of the Dallas Wings throughout the offseason. Like they were promoting Athletes Unlimited and they put Odyssey on the graphic in a Wings jersey. I feel like this is such an odd thing to do. And I know like, you know, social teams are not always like connected to what like the team is actually doing, but like there is some communication. Like this feels very odd to me. Like she's technically unsigned and we're using her in multiple like marketing things. What is going on here, Cal? I mean, not that you know what's happening, but like, is it a little weird? Like
it's a lot weird. It's very weird. It's I think probably a lot of what you said about the social team and the front office either aren't necessarily on the same page or didn't care that much when it one or the other when it comes to what they were posting. She's one of those free agents who you mentioned earlier. The Aces have room now if they decided they wanted to go get someone like her. I don't know if that's the direction that they want to go with that money, but she's not a Dallas Wing. She's a free agent. So with her being on all these posts, I don't think it's really supposed to be like that. I think it's one of those things that no one really enforces, and it just happens in this league. As this league grows, we'll see if we get to the point where enough people start to care about that stuff that it cleans it up a little bit. But
I've always seen quite a few people talk about it, but I don't know. Maybe it's just not enough. Maybe you just need to push them harder. But I think it's
got to be the right people. But there's a lot of people talking about it. You're right, but it hasn't changed anything yet. So maybe something.
We're not doing well enough. We're not pushing hard enough. But really excited to see how the Dallas Wings do this year. Yeah, you're right. Like it is going to be a fun little experiment for LT to kind of figure out what these lineups look like game to game. But they have a very like interesting roster, and I think that they'll be a lot of fun. All right, let's move on to the Atlanta Dream and preview their roster for this upcoming season.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
They are also interesting because where I want to kind of take this conversation with the Dream is how they did with their draft picks. Because everybody was complaining that they drafted players that can't even come over until next year, but when I was kind of looking at their roster, and I also have a piece here from Mark Schindler that kind of attacks the same issue, they didn't really have a lot of space when you look at who's pretty much a lock on this team. You have Cheyenne Parker, Jordan Canada, Alicia Gray, Ariel Powers, Nia Coffey are all protected. Then they have Tina Charles, Ryan Howard, of course, is a lock. And I think Leticia Amahir, Haley Jones are both going to make that roster as well, and Naz Hillman. And that doesn't really leave a lot of space for all of these draft picks to kind of make the roster on opening day. And so I think drafting international players that you know are going to be good, but waiting until next year, I think it's going to be really good for the Dream in terms of development and just like their long-term vision too, because kind of like the Wings, they're also working towards like being that consistent playoff team who can eventually like keep raising their bar every single season. And so I don't know if you had thoughts on that, but that's kind of where I was at with their draft night. I know a lot of people were like grading it really low, but at the end of the day, it kind of made sense for like where this team is at.
I agree. And I think that it is going to pay off in the long run. I think we've seen it pay off in the long run before with other teams. I think Ezzie Magbegor, great example, Seattle Storm. But it, when you look at where they're at right now, like they have a lot of pieces that you know are going to make the roster, but a lot of these are short term. And so when you start to get a year or two down the road and lose some of these pieces off of your payroll, now you have spots for some of these players who you just drafted who have developed a little bit to come over. I think it's a great, I agree with you. Yeah, good move on their part.
And let's talk about some of these new additions. Jordan Canada, who the Dream said that she has some kind of right hand injury, but I don't think she's going to be out for too long. But Jordan Canada comes in. They confirm that she's going to be the starting point guard. They also bring in Tina Charles, Ariel Powers, some really exciting moves. Tina Charles back in the W. We talked about it a little bit during free agency, but how do you think they're going to fit in, and what kind of excites you basketball-wise about this roster for this season?
It's just a talented starting five. It's a really talented starting five and with some pieces off the bench as well. But when you look at Jordan Canada, hopefully she's all right. Hand injuries usually don't take that long, so I'm sure she'll be fine soon enough. Coming in and solidifying the point guard spot. And after what she did last year, she wasn't quite there with Satu in terms of most improved, but a lot of people thought she was and should have been. And then Alisha Gray, Ryan Howard, elite 1-2 punch, and Cheyenne Parker and Tina Charles in the front court. Tina Charles is interesting to me because she's coming off a year out of the league. She's 35. This could go a lot of different ways. I suspect that we're going to have some nights where Tina Charles looks like she's 28 and looks like she's the MVP. And then we have some nights where Tina Charles looks like she's ready to retire. And it's going to be a lot of different ups and downs. But early in the season, the challenge is to fit all of these new pieces together because there's so much talent there in terms of that starting five on both sides of the ball, especially, you know, I think offensively in the front court, and then your back court, you have a lot of defensive talent as well. But will that talent sort of come together and click and turn into like a cohesive unit right away? Honestly, I think probably not. I think there's going to be some games in May at least where we look at the Atlanta Dream and we think like, how did they only score 57 points in this game? And then there's going to be some times in September when we look at this team and think like, who's stopping this team in the playoffs? Like nobody can guard them. So it's another one of those cases of coaching is going to be really important for Tanisha Wright to try to figure it all out. But there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I'm kind of looking for is to see if some of these second year players and like Leticia and Haley get more minutes, because obviously they didn't really get too many minutes last year. Haley got a little bit more run when there was some injury stuff going on. She got a little bit more playing time. But I think, you know, with Leticia too, and yes, I'm biased because I have now been covering her on the Canada basketball side since January.
I was waiting for you to bring that up. Wait, you did something the other day with her.
Thanks for teeing me up, Cal. She hosted an event with her nonprofit, Back to the Motherland, a couple of weeks ago, and I was able to go and kind of talk to her one-on-one about her nonprofit, about the upcoming season with the Dream, about her Canada basketball stuff, and very likely that she will be an Olympian again this summer. And I think, you know, watching her play, I will also talk about Athletes Unlimited, because she did play Athletes Unlimited for the first time this year. She did great. She was blocking every shot. She was playing really well. And I think watching her now in person and in practice, like, she's got a ton of potential. We know that she has like how she can play. And so I'm hoping that Tanisha gives her more minutes. I'm hoping that Tanisha gives Haley more minutes too, because I would like to see them develop even more so that maybe hopefully long term they can kind of help and step in and be that bench presence that the Dream are going to need. Because as great as a starting five can be, like, it's always going to be the pieces around them too.
Yeah, no question. And that's going to be another sort of factor with this team, is I think the chemistry of the starting five, and then, like you said, the development of most of the bench, who a lot of whom are pretty young, and they might be relying on, you know, aerial powers a lot early. And you have like Nia Coffey coming back off the bench, obviously more of a veteran as well. And then some of those younger pieces as the season goes on, hopefully, you know, get a little bit more up to speed. And the two that you mentioned, and we'll see if someone like, you know, Elizabeth Balogun or Lorella Kubai or someone else makes the team, because they do probably have another one or two spots besides the names that we've already said on here. And those are some players as well who are also younger and could see some development time if they make the roster.
For sure. All right, that's the Dream. Let's get into our final team for this week, the Minnesota Lynx. This is a very intriguing roster to me. They brought in some new people, including Courtney Williams, Alana Smith, and Tisha Heidemann. They drafted Alyssa Pealey, Kiki Jefferson, as we kind of talked about last week about Pealey. Natalie Chanwa, who became a free agent, it was reported that she's not returning as well. She remains another free agent on the market that I was kind of hinting at for the Las Vegas Aces. We'll see what they decide to do. But a healthy year for Diamond Miller, hopefully. Fee being an MVP candidate last season. K-Mac being a great vet on this team. Dorca's continued development. I feel like there's so many like exciting pieces for the Lynx that hopefully are going to start to click together even more. They also picked up Sika Kone in that draft trade that they did right before draft night. So what are you kind of expecting for them this season? What are you looking for with this roster, you know, by the end of training camp?
Yeah, I think the Lynx have a lot of pieces where you kind of know what you're getting at this point. And then you have some of those pieces like Diamond Miller, who, I mean, we do know she's going to be a star, but she's played really, what, two-thirds of a season of her career so far, because she got hurt as a rookie. And then you have, like, Cecilia. I practiced this name, and I'm still going to botch it, which is hypocritical of me, because I always bash people for botching names, but I'm going to do it anyway. Cecilia, I think, is how you say it.
You froze right when you were about to say it.
You know what? I'm not even gonna cut that one out, because I think the computer knew that I like was gonna mess up the name, and it was protecting me from embarrassment. I think that's what that was.
Okay.
We're gonna let people wonder if I got the name right or not. I did try to say it. She played with the Lynx six, 7 years ago, 2017, 2018. Then she's been overseas for the last 6 years working on her game. Very versatile wing. Probably some questions about her shooting, but has become a much improved passer during her time out of the WNBA. And so she's someone, it's a fascinating story for her to come back now, you know, 6 years later, and have a really good shot to make this roster. I think that's going to be something that I'm very intrigued by in training camp. But then the pieces that I think you kind of know what you're getting, and they're pretty good. You obviously have Nafisa Collier, who is really one step short of, you know, last year we had that three-way race for MVP with Asia and Brianna Stewart and AT, and then Nafisa Collier is like right there just below that tier, and she's still getting better. She's still young enough that she's still getting better. She could launch herself into that tier before we know it. Diamond Miller, obviously, we talked about. I love the additions in the backcourt. Courtney Williams and Natisha Heidemann, I think, are going to bring a lot of, you know, distributing ability, tough shot making, next to Kayla McBride, who seems to be one of the most consistent players in the league year in, year out with what she's able to bring. And then I love the addition of Alana Smith as well. She had a fantastic season for the Sky last year. Another one right there below Satu and Jordan Canada when you talk about most improved players a season ago. So, and without Jess Shepherd this year, in addition to, like you said, Natalie Achanwa not coming back, I think she's going to be a really big piece in their front court.
Yeah, for sure. Really excited to see how the Lynx do this year. Alana Smith is an underrated pickup, honestly, for them. I'm really excited to see how she kind of slots in with this team. But those are the three teams we previewed this week: the Wings, the Dream, and the Lynx. Do you have any last thoughts on these three teams before I move on to the WNBA preseason schedule coming up?
You know, no, not really. I feel like we say this every week, and I don't know, a cliche, but training camp's going to be fascinating for these teams, and early season rotations and development, things like that, are going to be fascinating for these teams. As with everyone, I'm just excited for the season to start. That's what it really is.
For sure. Make sure you're tapped in with all these teams during training camp. And then preseason begins Friday, May 3rd. There's two games on Friday night. One between the Indiana Fever and the Dallas Wings at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then the Chicago Sky will take on the Minnesota Lynx at 8 p.m. Eastern as well. So if you're a fan of those teams, we just talked about the Wings and the Lynx in this episode. We'll see how that kind of shakes out for them training camp wise. And then Saturday, May 4th, we have also two games, one being between the Washington Mystics and the Atlanta Dream, who we talked about this episode at 1 p.m. Eastern. But then at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, we have the Seattle Storm and the Los Angeles Sparks playing where? In Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And I will be there. Your girl will be there. The game was originally supposed to be on May 5th, but they rescheduled because of NHL playoffs. That's a whole other thing and a whole other tangent to go on. But so now I will be at the game the same day that I'm flying in. But really excited to see the Storm and the Sparks up close. I'll make sure to have all the coverage for you. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, make sure you're following me on socials, and I'll make sure to have at least one of the preseason games with bringing you coverage in this next week. But yeah, and then next week, more preseason games. Once we record as well, we're going to talk about three more teams and their season previews. And then in just a couple of weeks, the WNBA season is starting up. So we're getting closer. We're getting closer every week. We've previewed half a league now. So Cal, how do you feel about us getting closer?
It literally just hit me as you were talking that you were saying like these games coming up, that these are before our next episode. Like for the first time now. But you have games to tell people to go watch, because by the time we record our next episode, those games will have already happened. They're less than a week away. It's crazy. Correct. We're right there.
Yeah, we really are. We really are. So yeah, thanks for tuning into Coast to Coast. And next week, we'll make sure to talk three more teams. We'll talk Canada game, all of that, preseason games, anything that we see. Thanks for tapping in. Make sure you follow Her Hoop Stats at Her Hoop Stats on social media. Make sure you're sub to our podcast network and subscribed on YouTube, because you know we love you there. Like, I think combined with YouTube and like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that, we hit like over 3,000 people tapping in to last week's episode, which like I just wanted to shout that out, because we appreciate you so much. That makes us so happy. Like, that's like our goal with this kind of, with our podcast, just to like connect and talk to people. And yeah, I don't know. That's pretty dope. It's pretty dope. So I just wanted to say thank you real quick about that. You can follow me at KrinaMM, Calvin at CWetzel31. And we will see you next week.